Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And then I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because God gave us a do-over. He gave us a better day than yesterday. He gave us an opportunity to do better today than we did yesterday, to accomplish more today than we did yesterday. He has given us opportunity. He has given us strength. He has given us everything we need and more than we could ever ask or think. Because he's our father. And what do dads do? They love their children. They love their children. Dads love their children. And they want the best for them. They want them to accomplish. They want them to succeed. They want them to be better than they were. As a parent, I want my sons and daughter to be better than I am, to accomplish more than I did. And so far, they're doing just that. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful because God is in the midst. And he is the one that is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. The one in charge of everything. So I just say thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your kindness. So let us get started in our word. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with humble hearts and gracious spirits, asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, asking, Lord, that this word touch hearts, touch minds, touch spirits, that those that hear it will hear you and not me. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And let this word be a balm to heal souls, to heal minds, to heal spirits. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that you, oh God, are in charge of everything. Because there is no me, Father, without you. And I thank you. You hear me say it in a lot today. Thank you. Because as we get ready to go into Thanksgiving on tomorrow, to be thankful, it shouldn't be just a one-day event where we go absolutely nuts cooking and cleaning and getting everything in place because we're having company or we got this going on or that going on. We should celebrate and be thankful every day, giving God the glory every day, telling God I'm thankful every day. Because every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And so I just wanted to say that. As we get ready to start our blog, our show, our word, you know, this is not just the show. This is Bible study. This is a place where you get the word, God, and you get it in a good way. Hallelujah. So I am moving some things around, as you can probably tell. I've changed the location of where I speak to you. So I'm moving some things. So I'm taking a little time just to say thank you. And on yesterday, you know, we have had a great word over these last few days. Not that we have not had a great word every day, but you know, when God tells dry bones, come on now, to come back together, what can you say? But wow, you know, Ezekiel is a awesome, and I say it again with big old A's, awesome word. You know, I've read Ezekiel before, but time is just seems to permeate with my soul how powerful Ezekiel is. And it is a powerful word. But before we get started this morning in a word, God just put it in my spirit to give a devotion. And this is from a new book that I received as a gift, and I'm thankful to my namesake for giving it to me. And it says this: as many know, I spoke on yesterday that I had someone dear to me pass away on Monday, holding my hand as I prayed him into transition. I just say, God is good, and I'm grateful that I was the one with the opportunity to wish my friend a see you later, because we will always come back together, I believe, as God permits, when it's our time. But this is the word that was in the devotional this morning. And it says, in the middle of the pain you didn't cause, the change you didn't want, or the reality you didn't know was coming, your life can still be beautiful. And that touched my heart. And I'm going to read it again for those that are going through, because they don't have family. They don't have a place to go and have supper or dinner or lunch or brunch. They don't have anybody that's invited them over on tomorrow, who maybe are first year without family members because of COVID or because of other things, other illnesses, other deaths or abandonment even. That word touches hearts in the middle of the pain you didn't see, didn't cause, the change you didn't want, or the reality you didn't know was coming. Your life can still be beautiful. And this is, since the process before the promise, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. And, you know, this is a devotional that's pretty private. And but I just wanted to read that first word. And then, you know, we're going to go that psalm one more time, and then we're getting into Ezekiel. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and pull their trust and put their trust in the Lord. And I just say today, wait patiently and know that God has got you covered, and that it's all right to grieve. It's all right to want to say why. It's all right. But just know that all things happen for a purpose and a reason, according to plan, not ours, but his. So let's get in that word, y'all. And we are in Ezekiel chapter 39 and 40. We are in Psalms 132, verses 10 through 18. We are in Proverbs 29 and 5. And we are in James chapter 5. And whew, all I can say is it's a good word. And our word for today is coming out of James chapter 5 this morning. So James chapter 5, and I hope everybody can hear me clearly. Again, I changed location, so hopefully everything is working the way it needs to. In Ezekiel chapter 39, it says, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you." And, you know, it's like, didn't we just read that yesterday? It seems like it. But God is making a point. When God makes a point, he makes it more than one. And he's making a point that we're going to prophesy against those folks that did some stuff. And so let's keep it moving because he's getting ready to do some stuff. The Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrow to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountain of Israel, you and all your troops. And the people who are with you, I will give you to birds of prey and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shield and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fire with them for 7 years. Then they will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make fire with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. Comes, and it will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea. And it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the valley of Hamagog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be buried, and they will gain renown. For it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God, they will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party. to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. All the end of 7 months, at the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bones, he shall set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamagog. The name of the city will also be Hamanah. Thus they shall cleanse the land. And as for you, son of man, thus says the Lord of God, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and go. Gather together them from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you. A great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk, and my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you, you shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men, and with the men of war, says the Lord God. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God. From that day forward, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions. I have dealt with them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name after they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land, and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' hands, and I am hallowed to them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Wow. What a mighty word that was. A really, really word. When the Lord speaks, all we have to do is listen. And that was a good word. God is getting his people prepared to come home. Think about this. You have been away from home for several years. How about 70? We whine and complain about being out of our house for a tough couple of weeks. We have moments over hardly nothing. Just imagine not being able to go to your home that was given to you, your inheritance, and you got kicked out of your inheritance, and somebody else is living in your house. and you can't get in it. And you got to deal with it because you did some silly stuff. We got to understand God's word is true. And he wants the best for us. And God wants us to know that he's in charge, not us. I'm not in charge. You're not in charge. We're not in charge. And then he said, not only am I going to bring you home, but the animals of the field are going to feast today. They are going to feast because for these 7 years, yeah, you're going to come back, but you're going to have to do some stuff. You're going to have to get rid of those folks that laughed at you, those folks that treated you and pillaged you. Now you can go at it. And as we continue, it says, the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. We do not know why God waits to do some of the good things he has promised to do. But we can have total confidence that he will bring all of them about in his perfect time. He calls us to wait and to trust. I say it again. God calls us to wait and to trust. You know, when we're going through, we don't know why God sends us on a journey. We don't know why God tells us to go here or there. But we know that it's for a purpose and that it's for a reason. And that because God said go, you got to go. When God says do, you got to do. You know, when God wakes me up at 6 a.m. and it's like clockwork, 6 a.m. And if I have my work done, and I'm just being honest. If I have everything ready, he wakes me up at 6 a.m. And if I don't, he wakes me up at 5. And so needless to say, I try to get everything done the night before or early in the early morning when I wake up because I fell asleep working. But God wakes me up every day. And then he gives me one day to sleep. He said, okay, you can sleep today. Today is your rest day. And that's on Saturday because it's his rest day. You know, even God took a rest day. And we work, trying to get this extra dollar, that extra dollar, not understanding that it's not us that provides, it's God. It's not us that pays the bills. It's God. It's not us that does what we need to do. It's God. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God. Not us, not mama, not daddy, not your husband, not your wife, not your sons, not your daughters. It's God that does it all. It's God that provides. It's God that gives you the desires of your heart and what you need. He comes through every time. All we have to do is believe and say, okay, where you tell me to go, God, I will go. What you tell me to do, God, I will do. Who you tell me to do it for and with, I will do it. We honor God. When you honor God in all you do, watch God work in your life. When you honor God in all that you do, watch him work in your life. Watch him work. I've watched God do some miraculous things for some people. And folks are watching and wondering, how did they get that done? Or how did they do that? Or how did they get that opportunity? Because God gave it to them. Because God told them to do it. God is in charge of everything. And when we come to that realization that I have no control over anything that I am just a vessel to be used by God. Everything else falls into place. Hallelujah. But let's get into our word again. We are in chapter 40 for those that are just joining us in Ezekiel. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the vision of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it toward the south was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax, a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything I show you. For you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Now there was a wall all around the outside of the temple. In that man's hand was a measuring rod, 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a head breadth, and he measured the width of the wall, structure 1 rod, and the height 1 rod. Then he went to the gateway, which faced, and he went up its stairs and measured the threshold of the gateway, which was 1 rod wide, and the other threshold was 1 rod wide. Each gate chamber was 1 rod long and 1 rod wide. Between the gate chambers was a space of 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gateway by the vestibule of the inside gate was 1 rod. He also measured the vestibule of the inside gate, 1 rod. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway, 8 cubits, and the gatepost, 2 cubits. The vestibule of the gate was on the inside. In the eastern gateway were 3 gate chambers. On one side and 3 on the other. The 2 were all the same size. Also, the gateposts were of the same size, on this side and on that side. He measured the width of the entrance to the gateway, 10 cubits, and the length of the gate, 13 cubits. There was a space in front of the gate chambers, 1 cubit on this side and 1 cubit on that side. The gate chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Then he measured the gateway from the roof of 1 gate chamber to the roof of the other. The width was 25 cubits, a door faces door. He measured the gatepost 60 cubits high, and the court all around the gate was extended to the gatepost from the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule of the inner gate were 50 cubits. There were beveled windows framed in the gate chambers, and in their intervening archways on the inside of the gateway all around, and likewise in the vestibules, there were windows all around on the inside, and on each gatepost were palm trees. Then he brought me into the outer court, and there were chambers and a pavement made all around the pavement. 30 chambers faced the pavement. The pavement was by the side of the gateways corresponding to the length of the gateway. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the width from the front of the lower gateway to the front of the inner court, exterior 100. Cubits toward the east and the north. On the outer court was also a gateway facing north, and he measured it length and its width. Its gate chambers, 3 on this side and 3 on that side. Its gate posts and its archways had the same measurement as the first gate. In length was 50 cubits, and its width was 25 cubits. Its windows and those of its archways and also its palm trees
had the same measurement as the gateway facing east. It was ascended by 7 steps, and its archway was in front of it. A gate of the inner court was opposite the northern gateway, just as the eastern gateway and the measured from gateway to gateway 100 cubits. After that, he brought me toward the south, and there a gateway was facing south, and he measured its gateposts and archways according to these same measurements. There were windows in it, and in its archways all around like these. Windows, its length was 50 cubits, and its width 25 cubits. 7 steps led up to it, and its archway was in front of them. And it had palm trees on it, gateposts, one on this side and one on that side. There was also a gateway on the inner court facing south, and he measured from gateway to gateway toward the south 100 cubits. Then he brought me to the inner court through the southern gateway. He measured the southern gateway according to these same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, archways, were according to these same measurements. There were windows in it, and in the archways all around it was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. There were archways all around, 25 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Its archways faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts, and going up to it were 8 steps. And he brought me into the inner court facing east. He measured the gateway according to these same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gate posts, and its archways were according to these same measurements. And there were windows in it and its archways all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its archways faced the outer court, and palm trees were on its gateposts, on the side and on that side, and going up to it were 8 steps. Then he brought me to the north gateway and measured it according to the same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gateposts, and its archways. It had windows all around it. Length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. Its gateposts faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts, and on this side and on that side, and going up to it were 8 steps. There was a chamber and its entrance by the gateposts of the gateway where they washed the burnt offerings. In the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables on this side and 2 tables on that side, on which to slay the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. At the outer side of the vestibule, as one goes up to the entrance of the northern gateway, were 2 tables. And on the other side of the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side and 4 tables were on that side. By the side of the gateway, 8 tables on which they slaughtered the sacrifices. There were also 4 tables of honed stone for the burnt offering, 1.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1 cubit high. On these they laid the instruments with which they slaughtered the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Inside were books a hand's breadth wide, fastened all around, and the flesh of the sacrifices was on the table. Outside the inner gate were the chambers for the singers in the inner court, one facing south and the other of the northern gateway, facing north at the side of the southern gateway. Then he said to me, "This chamber which faces south is for the priests who have charge of the temple. The chamber which faces north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, from the sons of Levi, who come near the Lord to minister to him." And he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, four quarter. The altar was in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the doorpost of the vestibule, 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gateway was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits and the width 7 cubits. And by the steps which led up to it, there were pillars by the doorpost, one on this side and another on that side. Wow. And I just want to say, do you understand that everything God does is in symmetry? It's exact. There's no kind of sort of, let me just throw some measurements together. It is exact. Everything that God does is always exact, because that's how God is, perfect in every way. And as we continue in Psalms 132, verses 10 through 18, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth as to David. He swore oaths. He will not turn from it, your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has designed it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. That's a wonderful word, and let's keep going. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. A man who flatters his neighbor, you know, be careful of them false friends. You know, as they said back in my day, they smile in your face, and all the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers. You got to be careful of the backstabbers. Those folks that look at you, smile at you, and then stab you in the back. You know, that best friend that walks off with your husband and wants your children to call them mine. That best bud who's sleeping with your wife because they, him and Mrs. Jones got a thing going on. They know that it's wrong. Come on now, you know, and I will always love you, yeah, but you're not mine. Saving all my love for you, them stolen moments. Come on now. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Be careful who you allow in your inner circle. Your inner circle should be small. My inner circle, I can probably count on one hand. And it's for a purpose. I have lots of acquaintances, but I don't have that many friends on purpose. And the friends that I count the most, I've had since we were children. We don't talk every day, but I know if I picked up a phone and called them, they would come. I have sorority sisters, the ones that I pledge with, that I could pick up a phone. And they will be here tomorrow or today, whichever they could get, they will be here. And I for them as well. Those are people that you can depend on. We got to call them out. But be careful who you allow in your inner circle. Ask God. Let's get into our main word this morning. We are coming out of James chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And all I'm going to say is, get your highlighter out. Get your highlighter out, family. Because this is some highlightables in this word this morning. Quite a few highlightables. A lot of highlightables. You know, this is one of them words that I got all blued up. Because I only had a blue highlighter. So it's got some blue all over it. So get your highlighters out. And this is what the word of God says in James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have a heap up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord at Shabbat. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. I'm going to read that again. You have condemned you. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits, precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And, you know, I was listening to a news article or reading an article, and it talked about wealth and how the average person has not gained much wealth since the 50s. American heads and companies, CEOs, have gained over 900%. Think that through. 45 maybe percent to over hundreds of percent in gained wealth. Whereas before, companies shared the wealth across, so you got the middle class, if there's such a thing. But now greed has taken hold of certain people, and they have gotten so rich on the backs of laborers. And just as he said, you know, folks will hire and talk about illegals or those that are coming here illegally, but you hire them to work your fields, to pick your fruit, to do all these things, and then you stiff them on pay because they're illegal and they can't go to the court. They can't tell on you because they're there illegally. And that's some dirt. And that's what God is saying. Don't worry. I got them. I got them. So folks that think they're getting away with doing dirt, better watch out. Those that are stealing from their employees, better watch out. Those who do what stuff they shouldn't do, better watch out. Because God will not be mocked, and he does not play. And this is a highlightable for you. But above all, my brother, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. And the title that God gave me this morning was this. Lest you fall into judgment, let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you're going to say no, say no. No, babies. I guess I don't know. No, I can't do that. Yes, I will. I can't. And God is putting it in my spirit for this next year to learn how to say no. I can't. Yes, I can. But letting my no be no and my yes be yes. We can't be flimsy and wishy-washy. You either saved or you're not. You either believe in the Lord God and Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior, or you don't. You believe in a heaven and a hell, or you don't. You believe in angels and demons, or you don't. It's your choice to be right or to be wrong. It's your choice. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. And that's God speaking to all of us. If you can't do it, say, I can't do it. And if you can't do it. And this is what it says as we continue in the book of James, that all of this is highlightable. Just get your highlighter out. It says, anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I have watched healing with this word. I have seen it. I have seen anointing. I have seen healing. I know that God can do it. I've seen him work. But you got to have belief that I am healed. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. If you go in and someone is laying, they're praying over you and laying and anointing you, and you have unbelief, it's not going to work. But if you believe and they believe, it works every time, unless it's God's will that it's your time to go home. But God will make that decision. But the word of God tells us, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he commits sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Gotta do forgiveness in your heart. I forgive folks. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. Highlightable. You wonder where that scripture comes from? It comes from James chapter 5. Keep that in your arsenal. Chapter 5, verse 16. But understand, you know, we hear all the time, the effective and fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. But let's get that word in context. Confess your trust passes to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. Because so many times we want to throw that prayer out there, but not the fact that we got to confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In other words, we got to forgive. I messed up. Forgive me. And then I messed up. Forgive me. We messed up. Forgive us. So we may be healed. And this is what it says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land but 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And that is our word for this morning. Told you, highlightables. The whole thing, just a big highlight. And let's go over some life lessons from Dr. Stanley for this word. And it says in James 5:7, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We do not know when the Lord will return to reward his faithful people and to set right the world, but we know that he will. His promise gives us hope, but we must remain patient until he fulfills it. Folks look at you crazy when you're patient and you're not talking about, oh, we're going to this and we're going to that, we're going to die. We're going to, yeah, this is this and that is that. And you patiently listening. Because you know what? We don't control anything. We don't control it. God does. All we do is patiently wait for the Lord's return. Go to work. Let folks see him in you and do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry that this person or that person is lying and cheating and stealing. God's going to deal with them. You do what you're supposed to do and keep it moving. And I am learning that every day. Lord, give me patience. Lord, help me to not the small stuff, just to do it. Just do what I'm supposed to do. And do it for you, for your glory. And that's what we do. We do everything we do for God's glory, not ours. Self-aggrandizement is not what God is looking for. He's not looking for the mega this and the mega that. God is just looking for us to just be his people. He's looking for us just to be his people. And I'm not talking political mega. I'm talking big mega. Just want to make sure I clarify that so nobody said, oh, Mr. Bridges is talking about, no, I'm talking big. God wants magnificent. God wants mega big. Mega big. M-E-G-A big. Because that's who God is. He's big. He's omnipotent. And, you know, if any of you have internet, get an opportunity to go to the NASA website. And I think I talked about this earlier this week, but the Hubble Space Telescope, this big humongous thing that goes all through the world, all through the universes. But in one picture from the Hubble, it's a smiley face. And I laughed. I said, you know what? That's just God's sense of humor, letting us know, ha, I'm in charge. I got this thing. And it's got these, it looks exactly like a smiling face. And, you know, and I'm sure there's those movie people that love, you know, the sci-fi and the what do you call, I call them, like, you know, your Avengers. And now they have a new Marvel movie called The Eternals, I think. It deals with the Celestials and all of this stuff. But the bottom line is God's sense of humor, a thick smiley face at the other side of the universe. Just imagine God letting you know I'm out here and I'm in charge. And I'm just giving you a smile and a nod to let you know I'm here. And I just loved it. So if you get opportunity to get that picture, do so. Because it will touch your heart to see this smiling face out in the sky, out in space. Just a reminder that there is a God and he's in charge. And as we continue, it says this, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James 5:11. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Job had to go through some very dark, excruciating days, but never once during his trials did the Lord ever leave him. It helps to remember God's unchanging compassion and mercy when we suffer. I once was blind, but now I see. That's God. Get you through every time. When you're going through and you're in need, God provides everything that you need and more than you could ever ask for. Because he's that kind of God. And the one thing I can say without any doubt in my mind or my spirit is that my daddy loves me. And I love him too. And this is another word that, and this is that James 5:16, that we should always remember, keep that in your arsenal. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. We cannot obey a multitude of God's commands without being in regular and close fellowship with other believers. He has designed this world so that many of our needs are met only through mutual interdependence. I help my sister. My sisters help me. I help my brothers. My brothers help me. I help my children. My children help me. I help the children. The children grow up to help others. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, and I realize that folks have changed the Lord's Prayer from debt to trespass. But understanding that we want to be forgiven our trespasses, we want to forgive others there. So we want to forgive others the debt of sin, which is trespass, as we ask them to forgive our debt of sin, which is trespass. And the word of God says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. By his stripes, I am healed. We got to pray. So I say to you today, keep God first in everything you do. And understand, I give you three things. I know we're going to go by it maybe a minute over, but I just want to say this. God, this is, just write them down if you want to. And this is from 5 and 10. And it tells us in verse number 10, my brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of the suffering and patience. And understand, God uses adversity to get our attention. And I'm going to tell you, get your attention. Number two, adversity leads to examination. And three, the effective lessons lead to change in behavior. So I thank God for changing my behavior and yours. Have a blessed day, family. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ. Early. And I just want to get that word in before we say goodbye. And the word from Carolyn this morning is this: when we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Hey, thank you. Have a Warfare Wednesday, family. And remember, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. That you may be healed, the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. And remember, let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. That's it for this morning. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will not have a Thanksgiving show as of right now, but just call in anyway because you never know what God will put on my heart between now and in the morning. So thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I love y'all and have a wonderful day and happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed. And God willing, if it is God's will, join me in the morning. Call in at 7. Don't call in before. Call in at 7. And if we're on, we'll be there at 7. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.